Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Everyone, and welcome once again. Guess what today is? The first day of spring. And with spring comes baseball. And that's what we're talking about today. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master. And as always, on this fine 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time Sunday, it's The Master Plan. The number to call is 347-637-3220. Say that again. It's 347-637-3220 is a place to be if you want to talk to JT, the Master, and you know there's only one and only, and that's me. Got a great show in store for you today. As always, we're talking today about baseball. Fantasy baseball, to be exact. As promised last week, I said I was going to do a mock draft. I'm only playing in one baseball league this year, and that is the draft is next year. Next week, next Saturday. And it's in Yahoo. And because of that, I think I said last week I was going to do an ESPN mock draft, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do a Yahoo mock draft. Standard scoring, 12 teams, a total of, 36 players. And we'll go from there. Now, I'm able to go further, but depending on the time, we could take it another round. Oh, we can say it at three. But I'm going to start with three as the bottom line. And then if we have more time, we can go a little further than that. So, baseball is the subject. And I hope you decide to call me. Or just listen in. If you prefer not to call me, you can always listen in on www.blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. And some of you may not agree with my my mock draft, which is fine. We can agree to disagree. That's fine. But this is my mock draft, and this is how I see it. And hopefully, I can the draft I'm in on Saturday next week, I can benefit from that. Always have to know your settings. Always have to know your scoring system. Hopefully, you've been doing just like in fantasy baseball or fantasy football or fantasy basketball, hopefully you've been doing some mock drafts just to get a feel of where certain players may go. Now, like I always say, you can go in a plan, but you got to be flexible. You got to be flexible because you never know. You may think your draft is going to go in one way, and each draft is different. And then it goes another way. And then you have to be able to adjust to that to maximize the teams that you get, to get the teams that you put together. So you have to maximize that. And you have to be flexible. Go in with a plan. Know what you want to do, first off. And then you got to have a plan B, C, D, and so forth. Because unlike fantasy football, there's a lot more players and positions to deal with. So you have to be pretty knowledgeable on the players and where you may pick up a player versus someone else that's in your league. Have an idea of where you may pick up a jewel for whatever reason. You have a gut feeling. You feel that someone is there that no one is thinking about. I always have one or two of those, and for the most part, one or two of those guys always pans out, and I pick them up. And no risk, no reward. High risk, high reward. Remember that. I'm that type of guy. High risk, high reward. So I'll take somebody that most people will write off, so to speak, and then. He comes out of nowhere. Do you have you can go with a gut feeling or statistics or whatever draws you to that person or persons or player, I should say, player or players. Take a shot. You can always drop that player for another one if it doesn't pan out. But I would venture on the side of caution and pick the player up. Versus someone else doing that, and you saying I should have, and could have, and would have, instead of actually doing it. So it is what it is. All right, we're dealing with Yahoo, and let's start it off with round one. Now, most people, a lot of people, in my opinion, have the MVP of last year in the National League, as the number one player. I don't think so. Now, depending on what part of the country you're in, depending on how you feel about one player versus another, leads you, if you have the number one pick, to take one of three players. I never take a pitcher in the first round, so that thought never entered my mind, and it shouldn't enter your mind. There's too many available good pitchers out there to even think about taking a pitcher. So what's that mean? Well, quite naturally means that if you discount a pitcher, then you discount a catcher because no one's going to take a catcher in the first round. There's no catcher worth that. So that leaves the other positions, the outfield, third, second, shortstop, first baseman. Well, you can discount the second baseman. There's really no second baseman that is worth a shortstop. A first round pick. Some can argue that there may be a shortstop out there or a third baseman out there that you want to take number one. But I don't think so. So guess what? I eliminated catcher. I eliminated the second base. I eliminated the shortstop. I eliminated the third baseman. Quite naturally, I eliminated the pitcher. There's only one position left in the infield, and the other positions are all in the outfield. So, in my opinion, in my opinion. He may not be an automatic number one any longer, but he has a ridiculous floor, okay? Outstanding, been balling from the time he jumped into the league. And I have to say, from the left coast, he's been doing his thing. And without a doubt in my mind, he should be the number one pick. I'm talking about Mike Trout from the Los Angeles Angels. An outfielder from the Los Angeles Angels, been balling out. Okay? Been balling out. Can't see a reason why now. Some people may want to take or think about taking Bryce Harper, and we'll get to him because he's only 22. But in my opinion, in my humble opinion, I take Mike Trout. Baseball stealer, can steal bases. Hit for power, hit for average, and I like all those assets. I'd have to think this. I'd rather have that than a guy that I know is going to give me consistent numbers. I know this guy's been climbing up the next guy, my number two pick. The next guy has been climbing up the ladder. And he's been I think within the last 3 years, he's been a top five pick. And some can dispute that he should be the number one pick this year because he's just, he's been trending up. And he's been balling, and he'd get more and more recognized quite naturally. And people always gravitate to this guy, especially in the early rounds, early part of the first round. And that's a guy from Arizona, first baseman. Like I said, I eliminated guys that I didn't think were in the first pick. But this guy can arguably be a first pick in the draft. Some people are probably going to take him first. The first baseman, Paul Goldschmidt. Okay, five category star. And if you're in doubt, infield, take an infield pick. And it's a first baseman. Guy's balling out too, without a doubt. So my second pick in the draft would be Paul Goldschmidt. When I had talked about who would I take the first pick, I had eliminated quite a few positions, in my opinion. And I only left out the first baseman and the outfield. Well, the first pick, which was Mike Trout, was an outfielder. The second pick, which was a first baseman, Paul Goldschmidt, was a first baseman. So where do you think I'm going with my third pick? I'm stepping out past second base, walking out in the field, and picking up another outfielder who was the MVP last year with 330, 460, and 649 line as a 22-year-old. Some would argue that he should be the number one pick because he still has his upside, and he still has upside. Not to say that Mike Trout doesn't. But both these guys are young studs. But one versus the other has an injury concern to me. And that's one of the reasons why he doesn't steal as many bases as he used to. And that's Bryce Harper from the Washington Nationals. Had an outstanding line, deserved the MVP. somewhat of a diva. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that has anything to do with how he performs in fantasy baseball. But the problem I'm talking about is this. He's an injury concern. I'm not saying he's fragile, but you can guarantee that he's going to miss some games over the course of a 162-game season. Guaranteed, because that's just what Bryce Harper does. He plays the game hard, and he gets nicked up, ankle, knee. That's just the way it happens with Bryce Harper. So that's another reason why I couldn't take him number one. I'm taking a number three. It's not that much of a difference, but he's still a top five pick quite naturally because he's trending up. I think he's only going to get better, believe it or not. 22 years old. He's been in the league, what, 4 or 5 years? And he's getting better each year. What is his ceiling? Just think about that. What is Bryce Harper's ceiling? When he hit 330 last year. 330. All right. Let's move down to the number four spot. Now, I wrestled with this. Because I'm not a guy that takes pitchers high in the draft. I'm the type of guy, just like I'm in football, fantasy football, that I wait and take my quarterback. I wait and take my pitchers. I don't necessarily have to have a stud. Let me rephrase that. I don't have necessarily have to have a number first round pitcher drafted on my team. There's a lot of pitchers out there, high quality pitchers that you can get fourth, fifth round, believe it or not. Maybe not the caliber of Clayton Kershaw, but really close to it. High strikeout count, low ERA, low WHIP, and on a team that he can win consistently. So, but for this mock draft, I think number four. In the first round, who's the clear number one pitcher in baseball? He should be a top five pick, and that's Clayton Kershaw. Need I say more about his stats? Need I say more about his stats over the years? Consistent bulldog and very reliable in showing up for every time he needs to pitch. All right, let's move on to now this guy. He came on the scene, rookie last year, outstanding. One of the young guns in Houston now. This guy's, I think, only going to get better. He has a very high ceiling. And let me put it this way. He's my number five pick. And he could be strong competition going into next year, if he does what I think he's going to do, for the number one pick of next year. Or move up. I mean, he's five now. He could move up. Because I think Carlos Correa from Houston, the shortstop, got the number one overall pick pedigree, and he is trending up. Now, he's got to cut down on the strikeouts. There's no doubt about it. Two teams that have young guns, that have very good players. I'm talking about Houston and Chicago. Have young guys that strike out a little bit too much. Maybe overly aggressive or not being selective at the plate. But they need to cut down on their strikeouts. And Carlos Correa is one of them. But outstanding. His power is only going to get better. Hits for average. Can steal bases. What more can I say? And this other guy, this next guy, he's a shortstop. He also he's got dual eligibility, which is always good to pick up. And this guy's got power, and he can steal bases. He's 23 years old, another young guy, and it more than likely going to start the season as a third baseman, more than likely. But he's got, like I said, eligibility at the shortstop position. I'm talking about Manny Machado out of Baltimore. Can hit for power, average, steal bases. Big threat. He's my number six pick. Going down to the reigning AL MVP. Now, number three was the reigning NL MVP in Bryce Harper. Number seven in my mock draft would be another third baseman. And he's in the lineup that's stacked with Toya Tulowitzki and Jose Bautista. And now you have Josh Donaldson, who I'm talking about, is my number seven pick in the first round. Need I say more? You got a mixture of young guys and experienced guys here, and I'm staying on that track. I talked about the Houston Astros and their young talent and striking out too much, being more selective at the plate, and reducing their strikeout count. Well, my number eight pick is another third baseman / outfielder. He plays both positions. He's eligible for both positions. He's coming off a great rookie season, and there's still room for improvement. I mean, quite naturally, he can hit for power, hit for average. Like I said, his strikeout count needs to go down. He's out of Chicago. I'm talking about Chris Bryant, young talent. His arrow is pointing straight up, and I got to believe that in that lineup with the pieces they have in that lineup, like Anthony Rizzo and company, I got to believe that Chris Bryant is only going to get better. Now, what happens when these guys in their rookie season is the pitchers make some adjustments to what they saw in their rookie season. And it's up to the second-year player now, like Carlos Correa or Chris Bryant, to adjust to what the pitchers are adjusting to. And I think both these guys, and I'm speaking about Chris Bryant too, can adjust and get better and more selective at the plate and keep their pitch and their strikeout count down. Let's move to this guy. Now, if you have a guy that it plays for the Colorado Rockies and is a pretty good hitter, grab him. This guy broke out last year, and that may be only the beginning. He's only 24 years old. 81 of his 662 games at Coors Field in Colorado. So that's always a advantage when you get someone that is a very good player and can hit for power. then you grab him. He can hit for average, for power, drive runs in, and score runs. I think this guy is another guy, another young guy that's trending up. And he's my number 9 pick, Nolan Arenado from Colorado. Talked about the Chicago team, and I'll round off my top 10 with another Chicago player, their first baseman. In fact, that's their elder statesman, believe it or not, because he's the oldest of the infielders, and they look to him as a leader, one of the leaders. Talking about Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs, who plays first base. I think he's in the midst of being in his prime, especially with power. And with all the players on his team that can get on base, I think he can is a strong guy to get over the century mark in RBIs. And the fact is, he can steal bases too. You gotta like a lot what Anthony Rizzo can do. Number 11. Now, all these guys were outstanding, and my number 11, you're going to say, how the heck can you have this guy at 11 behind some of these other guys, especially some of the guys like Nolan Arenado, Chris Bryant, or Carlos Correa, who've only done it in 1 year or his second year or something like that, haven't been proven over several years. This is my mock draft. What can I tell you? But this guy is one of the few guys that can legitimately hit 45-plus home runs. He came off an injury last year, and because I would say he played about a half a season, he had 27 home runs. And just think about this. I know some of you don't like Barry Bonds. That's quite all right. I'm not one of them. I think he's a prolific player, should be in the Hall of Fame, but that's for a different program. The hitting coach in Miami, the Marlins, is Barry Bonds, one of the most prolific hitters in all of baseball. One of the most prolific hitters in all of baseball. And now you got to believe that when Barry Bonds talks, one of the players on the Marlins, who is their big-time, big-ticket player, Giancarlo Stanton, listens. Healthy Giancarlo, I may have him at 11. He may prove to be even better than that come the end of the year, as long as he stays healthy. But with Barry Bonds mentoring Giancarlo Stanton, giving him tips, one of the best prolific hitters in all of baseball. I'm talking about Barry Bonds. I can't stress it enough, because then you have a young hitter looks up to Barry Bonds. And who wouldn't? If you can get pointers, tips, advice from a guy that looks at you from afar as the batting coach, hitting coach, whatever way you want to name it, and can help you in being a better hitter, wouldn't you take it? And really, he's a Hall of Famer. Excuse me. Even though he hasn't been officially elected to the Hall of Famer, in my book, he's a Hall of Famer. Giancarlo Stanton is going to have, barring any health issues, a monster season. Monster. And if you get him 11th, in the first round, in my opinion, that's a steal. That's steel. Let's move on to another guy. Now, I really like this guy. Now, and you're getting Giancarlo at the bottom of the draft in the first round, 11. Wow. That's a steal, in my opinion. Then this other guy is another steal. Power, speed, on-base percentage, can do it all. Steal bases, hit for average, hit, knock balls in, hit home runs. I mean, hit play, you know, RBI machine. He can do it all. And he's on the bottom of the first round. Andrew McCutchen from Pittsburgh, an outfielder. That first round is loaded. And you even haven't got to the second round. Now, just think about this. If you're in the first round and you're able to pick up Andrew McCutchen as the 12th pick, quite naturally, snake draft, you're picking in the second round the first pick. Who do you take? How about taking a slugger who likes to flip the bat a lot, who is a very intimidating hitter when he's at the plate, very cocky, very sure of himself, extremely sure of himself, in a contract year, looking to get paid for all he has done for the Toronto Blue Jays. So you in the bottom of the first round, you have the 12th pick. You pick Andrew McCutchen. In my opinion, you turn around and get another outfielder in Jose Bautista. Oh, my God. What more could you ask for? You got two solid outfielders that can give you power. McCutchen gives you more speed and stolen base than Bautista does. But RBIs are going to be plentiful, and home runs as well. That's a hell of a combination going from the 12th pick in the first round to the first pick in the second. All right, the second pick. Now, this guy used to be a top 10, top 5 pick at one point, and now he dropped into the second round. But he had a somewhat disappointing season, but he's one of the best hitters in history of baseball. And this should be a no-brainer for the person who picked 11th, who's picking the second in the second round. And that's Miguel Cabrera, a first baseman. And I think he may still be eligible. I'm not sure if he is or not. I have to check that. At the third base position, but his position now, for all intents and purposes, is at first base. And you have to think, he had a disappointing season somewhat last year. A healthy Miguel Cabrera, even though he's a year older, most hitters, most professional hitters, don't really lose it that much. And I have to think that he's out to prove something from what happened to him last year. And I think he's going to be an outstanding pick, second round, second pick in the second round. That's another steal. The third pick in the second round, he had a power surge last year. Can he sustain that? I'm not sure about that. He can steal bases. He can hit for average, and his on base percentage is very, very good. And I don't know if he can get any better than he got last year. And I'm talking about the second baseman out of Houston, Jose Altuve. The fourth pick in the second round. They had this kid, I think he's third or fourth year, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's third year, going into the third year. Hailing out of Boston, outfielder hailing out of Boston. had a lot of hype on him last summer. And he delivered on it. Hit for 291, 18 homers, 77 RBIs, 77 runs scored. 21 bases stolen. This will be his second full season. And he's eligible at second base also. I'm talking about Mookie Betts. Absolutely love this kid. Outfielder and eligible at second base. So this is another one of these two-position guys that you can move around. Utility position, second base slash outfielder, or second base slash third base, depending on your categories in your league. But this kid can be versatile enough that you can use him in the outfield or use him at second base. And Mookie Betts, second round, fourth pick, I like that. Fifth pick in the second round. The only thing that he doesn't give you is stolen bases. Gives you RBIs, gives you runs scored, home runs, on-base percentage, batting average. Talking about Jose Abreu out of the Chicago White Sox in the first baseman category. Gotta love Jose Abreu. You gotta love him. The next guy, middle of the second round, I picked this guy up. The last time I played fantasy baseball, I picked this guy up because I think he's an unsung hero. Yeah, I said that. An unsung hero in Arizona. And I think he can match what he did last year. He could get even better. I like AJ Pollock, an outfielder. He had last season's breakout campaign, and I feel he can come close to his same numbers from 2015. I got to believe it. From what I've seen, and he's got Paul Goldschmidt playing on his team too, and a better pitching staff. And I think he just gets better from one season to the next. So I'm looking for possibly even better numbers than A.J. Pollock put up last season. Earlier I talked about in the first round that if you have someone that's playing in Colorado that you would take him. And especially if he can hit and and if he's playing out of Colorado, it would be a benefit because all the numbers are exaggerated in Colorado. All the numbers are exaggerated in Colorado. Players look like they play better in Colorado. Their batting average, their power seems like they it goes up in Colorado, and I gotta believe that Charlie Blackmon, who should push for about a batting average around 29 home runs. 290, a batting average of 290, about 20 home runs, and can steal bases. And with the stealing bases, quite naturally, with the players that are in Colorado, strong possibility that he has a high count in scoring. 30 stolen bases. I do believe that he can get that. So that's another guy near the middle of the second round that you can pick up from Colorado that is going to give you outstanding numbers. This next guy struggled earlier in last season, but still posted a good batting average, .277. He had 39 home runs and 111 RBIs. And I think he can do it again. First baseman from that Splash Brothers I'm talking about, Josh Donaldson, Jose Bautista. Who else is in that Toronto lineup? Troy Tulowitzki. I think Edwin Encarnacion is another good pickup that you can get into the second round. There's a lot of good players out here. A lot of young players are probably going to hot names that people are going to pick in the first round and leave these players like Edwin Encarnacion to be plucked plucked out in the second round. And he's going to give you some serious numbers. My number 9 pick in the second round hit .362 after the All-Star break last season. He's on a Cincinnati team with Paul Paul Goldschmidt. He's on a Cincinnati team. He's a diehard, I should say, he's a consistent player and a All-Star. I'm talking about Joey Votto, first baseman. So there's quite a few first basemen sitting out there that are going to be able to produce for you. Paul Goldschmidt, Anthony Rizzo, Miguel Cabrera, Jose Abreu, Edwin Encarnacion, and now Joey Votto. A lot of guys out there to pick up and in the 12-team league. So you have the makings of a very good team if you're able to pick up players of that caliber, such as the 9th pick in the second round of Joey Votto. Let's get to near the bottom of the second round, the 10th pick, which would be a pitcher that, and some pitchers thrive in moving from one league to the next, from American League to the National League or vice versa. And some pitchers struggle. Well, this next pick I have at the 10th in the second round, 2.80 ERA, despite giving up too many home runs, to be exact. And I'm talking about Max Scherzer. Strikeout machine, so if you're looking for one of these pitchers that's high strikeout count and it's on a good team and with a chance to win quite a few games on the Washington Nationals, Max Scherzer is one of those pitchers. Second round, I have no problem picking a pitcher in the second round. First round, a different story, but I will probably wait. But I'm thinking this is probably where Max Scherzer is going to go, or early third round, let me put it that way. And that's why I have Max Scherzer, the 10th pick. One of my favorite outfielders, and at one point he was a top 5 pick, top 10 pick, and he progressively moved down through PED scandals, through getting hurt and not performing as well. And I still think that he is a top 10 outfielder, despite what happened last year with all of the nagging injuries. And he's from Milwaukee. He's an outfielder. I think he played more than one outfield position. You can use him in more than one outfield position if you have right field, left field, or center field. He's an outfielder. Ryan Braun, one of my favorite players. I know he's been suspended, just like Alex Rodriguez, for using some drugs that weren't allowed in baseball. But he still put up numbers despite after he came back, and quite naturally, he's getting tested just like Alex Rodriguez on a regular basis, and he's still putting up serious numbers. So I still like Ryan Braun as the 11th pick in the second round. All right, let's move to the bottom of the second round. This guy has two position capability, and you can use him in both, which is always good. He's a first baseman for most of the time, but he can be used in the outfield. And if you need somebody with power, you don't want to wait on somebody for power. You get him, get it early. He stayed in Baltimore, and he seemed to thrive in Baltimore. Only problem is he has a high strikeout count, and that's consistent throughout the time he's been in Baltimore. But capable of hitting 40, 50 home runs, and that's he's capable of getting on a streak, a hot streak of bashing home runs, or multiple home runs in a game. That's how Chris Davis of the Baltimore Orioles is. And I got him at the last pick in the second round. And then the person who picks last in the second round can get a guy like can steal bases and score runs. Not a big power guy. Can constantly get on base. Does hit for moderate average and score a lot of runs and stolen bases. And I'm talking about the guy from Miami, D. Gordon. Mr. Speed extraordinaire. Let me put it that way. So he's my third round first pick. Or I should say first pick in the third round. That makes more sense, Jerry. Hello. All right. We have about 11 minutes left in the show, and I think I can get to the end of the third round by then. But second pick in the third round. Another outfielder, another guy who makes his own luck by consistently hammering the ball. And I think there's going to be a resurgence, a reestablishment of order in the American League, in American League Central, if I do believe, I think that's what it is, that the Detroit Tigers are going to make a resurgence back to the respectability. And I think J.D. Martinez is going to contribute to that. That's the outfielder I'm talking about. He's consistently hammering the ball, and I think he being an outfielder, that you can benefit from that. This guy last year had double-digit homers. Talking about the third pick in the third round, had 30 steals last season. And he may get picked off in the second round, but I don't see him dropping any further than where I have him now, the third pick in the third round. I'm talking about the outfielder from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Starling Marte. Like him a lot. A young player, I can only see him getting better barring injury. And like I said, he can give you double-digit home runs along with 30 steals. So that means he's going to be on base quite a bit for Andrew McCutchen and company to score runs and also be able to contribute in the home run category and the on-base percentage and the average, the hitting average. So third pick, He may not even last that long. He may be somewhere in the second round. And this is all what I'm feeling, not necessarily what's going to actually this is just my mock draft. Well, let's move down to another young gun who also has a tendency, and I told you two teams that have a high strikeout rate. This is one of the guys that on that one of those teams in Houston that has a high strikeout rate. He still needs to show more plate discipline. Going into his third year. And I expect George Springer, who's an outfielder, and they can steal bases, can definitely knock the ball out of the park to show more discipline at the plate and lower that strikeout rate that much more. I expect all these young guys with more experience and more plate discipline to improve on their strikeout rate. And I think George Springer, in a third pick in the fourth round, can do that. Don't normally take catchers this high up, but there are two exceptions. And the third round, fifth pick in the third round is one of them. You can almost guarantee that he's going to hit 300, have 20 home runs, and 90 RBIs as a catcher. Number one catcher on the board, without a doubt. I'm talking about Buster Posey from the San Francisco Giants. Can almost guarantee that's what's going to be his numbers. And that's why I have him as a catcher, one of the two catchers in this third round that I would pick in the third round. Otherwise, I would wait on a catcher because that's probably the weakest category. So you try to take the best ones early if you can. Buster Posey is my fifth pick in the third round that I would take. Now the next guy, probably around 140-something games, can play two positions, outfield and catcher. And that's anytime you get a guy that is a dual position player, that gives you a lot more flexibility on your roster. And this guy is, in my opinion, a hitting machine that can hit for power. And I like Kyle Schwarzenegger from Chicago. Now, like I said, these young guys have a tendency to have a high strikeout rate, but they're all growing together, pushing each other, all trying to be that special guy. And with the manager who can nurture these guys, these young guys, and I have to say, this is a professional hitter in Kyle Schwarzenegger. I have no problem taking him, especially as a dual threat, meaning catcher and outfielder, of taking him as a sixth pick in the third round. Let's move on to another pitcher, and we're still talking about Chicago Cubs. The Cy Young Award winner of last year. Now, he had a huge workload last year, and he came out to be the best pitcher and projected to be the best pitcher on one of the best teams in baseball. Talking about Jake Arrieta. The seventh pick in the third round. Got another pitcher. He moved teams, but he stayed still in the NL West, but he moved to another team, had a huge contract, and he moved. He's eighth pick in the third round. And I think it's going to be beneficial to the Arizona Cardinals and to Zach Greinke. I like Zach Greinke as a viable eighth pick in the third round. Let's move down to number 9. He decided to stay in New York. 275, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, 10 stolen bases. Outfielder with all the flash and dash, coming back to play in New York. Yoenis Cespedes. I like him as a ninth pick in the third round. Let's go to the 10th pick in the third round. Out of Chicago, this time it's with the White Sox. He's a third baseman. Still had 30 home run power and double-digit steal potential. And Chicago, he will still be hammering out those nice home runs. I'm talking about Todd Frazier. Number 11th pick. We got 2 minutes left. I think we can get to the end of this. A teammate of Todd Frazier's. The 11.8 batters per 9 innings last year. That's crazy. If the team trends up, the wins will also. Let me put it that way. I'm talking about starting pitcher who had a lot to say about his general manager this past week is Chris Sale. Always a strikeout machine. He just needs to have better players around him so he can pick up his win totals. And last but not least, in the third round, we're talking about this guy can be in the conversation for this year's Cy Young Award coming off Tommy John last year, came back, pitched decently. I think he's going to be even that much more improved. Jose Fernandez from the Miami Marlins, it will be a steal to get him in the third round, the last pick in the third round. That's it for people. That's the third round, three-round mock draft. Tune in next week. Same time, same spot. I'll be here. JT, we'll be talking about the draft that we had on Saturday, on Sunday morning. With that being said, enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the first day of spring. I'll talk to you on the flip side next week. And it's been enjoyable as always. And with that being said, let's do this.